Hi, welcome to the Sophia Talk Show. This is a podcast all about books, movies, anything fantasy related or fiction books related. I am Sophia Simpson. I will be your host, and I will be bringing on lots of guests, including authors and readers and non-readers alike. And every once in a while, I'll bring in a serious topic or two. And I hope you enjoy this show as much as I've enjoyed recording it. Oh, and by the way, I'm a young adult Christian fantasy author, which explains the book talk. And on that note, I hope you enjoy the show. Hi, my Sophia Talks friends. This is Sophia coming to you with episode 11. I am with two awesome girls, Peyton and Devin, and they are here talking to us about all things fantasy and all things books. And I don't know, maybe a few other things. We'll see. I do have a fun little Christmas in July quiz that they will be taking. So hopefully we'll see who knows the most about Christmas. And I know I'm totally popping this on you guys. I'm sorry. I kind of wanted the surprise factor, but I did this over Christmas. I did the quiz over Christmas, and I thought it'd be fun to do a Christmas in July. So anyway, let's say hello to Peyton.
Hi.
Devin.
Hello, Miss Sophia.
Okay. So you guys are super awesome for coming on here with me. I know this is a fledgling podcast, but I'm coming up to my first completed season in September. So I'm super excited. I did miss a few months because my husband had brain surgery. So we were quite busy, you know.
How's he doing?
He's doing a lot better.
That's good.
It took a long time for him to actually be able to get off the meds and to feel like he was somewhat normal. But he's been back at work for 3 weeks now.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So huge relief and big sigh of contentment that he is in a good place. He's got some pain, but I think that's to be expected. They said it was the most painful brain surgery you could have. That was really. We found out after the surgery.
Oh, they told you after?
Yeah, they told us after. So
how great of them.
I know. So I'm sure if they would have told us that beforehand, he might. I mean, maybe he would have backed out of it, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, just
would've.
The fear of all that. So anyway, I'm back with a vengeance. This is my second podcast since I've come back, and I just have the most fun talking to you guys because, I mean, I just love picking everybody's brain about books and fantasy and all that stuff. It's just so fun, and all of Nikki's friends have always been so great to me, been wanting to be a part of the podcast. So thank you again for coming on.
Of course, I super appreciate it. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Okay, so I've sent you some questions, and I know you've thought long and hard about these questions. Did you really?
Yes.
Stress you out about these questions. See, that's why I never wanted to give the questions to begin with. That's why I didn't do it with Brooklyn and Nick, because I was like, I don't want you to worry about what I'm going to ask. Like, please don't stress about it. Like, I should have said that before my first question, because that's the last thing I want to do. But anyway, I do want you to be prepared. Because I felt bad, like I said, that Brooklyn may not have felt a little prepared. Hi, Brooklyn. I love you. Okay. So we'll start with the first one. What is your favorite all-time fantasy movie?
Mine is Transformers. I just know a lot about it. Grown up watching it.
Really? Now, I think I've only seen one. Really? Isn't that terrible? How many have there been?
I think there's six. I've never seen one. I've never seen one.
I like the one with Megan Fox. I think that was the first one, maybe.
First or second.
Okay, I'm wanting to say it wasn't the very, very first one.
Yeah,
I feel like it
second.
Was one of the.
She was still super young.
Yeah, she was super young in it.
Yeah, I remember she was super pretty. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was like one of the most prettiest persons I've ever seen in my life. I'm like, geez, this girl. But yeah, I love all things fantasy. So I don't understand why I've not seen all these movies. I don't understand. I can't figure out why. I just haven't taken the time to watch them, I guess. I guess that's my reason. Is that your reason, too?
I just don't find, cars and stuff like that, fun. Like, action's never been my thing. I love horror movies. Those are my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah. Well, you're so brave. Oh, my gosh. I could never. No, I'm
No, I'm such a wimp with horror movies.
I love them.
We watch horror movies all
All
the
the time.
time.
Really? You do too?
I
Oh
love horror
my
movies.
gosh. No, I've only seen The Sixth Sense. That's a
Ooh.
long time ago, but that was a good one. And my husband was really mad when we went to the theaters because he finally dragged me to a horror movie. And it like turned out the end wasn't as scary as we all thought it was gonna be. Now, I don't mean to be like, bearer of bad news for people who like horror movies. It's still a good movie. It's still very suspenseful.
Anytime me and Devin watch a scary movie, we sleep with every single light on, and we're all like, we have to touch each other because I swear there's something like in
Like,
the
or
shadows.
under the bed
We
in the
freak out. We
closet.
sprint out that room anytime. It's
So, what's your all-time favorite horror movie then? You've got to
Oh,
have
mine's
one.
Us. It's about like a
Us?
family of evil duplicates of yourself, and they like try to kill you. And I freaked out. I swear I have a doppelganger that's out to get me now. That terrified me. That or like The Conjuring, because me and Devin watch that all the time, and it freaks me out.
Insidious is good. I Lights Out gets me every time.
Lights
Lights
Out, it's
Out.
about a
It made me
monster
scared in
that
the
comes out
dark.
in the night, and there's so many jump scares. And me and Devin, for the first time when we watched it, we slept with every light on for a week straight. We slept over with each other.
It was so
We
bad.
sprinted everywhere around the house. We were so scared.
It
It was so
was
funny.
terrifying.
Oh no. Why do you do that to yourself? Why is
It's
that
just,
so
it's
good? Why is
fun.
that a good
Half
feeling?
the time we have our eyes closed, or at least I have my eyes closed, and I still get scared when the sounds come on. I plug my ears in movie theaters. I get terrified.
But you like that
I
feeling.
love it.
You don't
During the
mind it.
movie, it's like suspenseful. So
It's
it's like.
super, like the music in the background makes it definitely a lot scarier. But I can't watch like romantic movies like The Notebook. I feel like that's so cheap.
I love that movie so much.
Devin is a hopeless romantic in their
Yeah,
friendship.
I am.
It's a really good thing for me to know. See, this is good. I'm glad we got that out of the way because my books are definitely, there's definitely a romance thread to them and they're, because I
Isn't
love
Tara
it.
about the elements? I remember reading about it.
So Terra are about elementals and basically, and it's a Christian fantasy. So basically I've just mixed faith with fantasy. Kind of like Lord of the Rings and Chronicles of Narnia, that kind of thing. So basically elementals were God gifted a race of people to have gifts. So earth, they can heal, they can move soil, they can grow things, they can do anything with the earth. Wind elementals, wind, water. So you have the Festans, who are the fire elementals, Boreans, who are the wind, Neronians, who are the water, and Gaians, who are the earth. And that was a lot of fun coming up with those names, by the way, because
It's different.
I was, when I first took this like idea of a book to my writing group, I was like, yeah, they're earth elementals and they're fire. I just named them earth, fire, wind, water. I just like, let's keep it simple. They're like, they got on to me so hard. They're like, you've got to change that. Like, you've got to make it a different name than
Especially when
just
you have
earth,
control of the
wind.
whole book and you can choose anything you want and it can make sense to you and the reader can pick up and choose it in its own way. Because everyone likes, like, can take a story a different way or a different perspective. So it's definitely cool. Because I was reading about it. I was reading, like, the outline of it and everything on your page.
Yeah, cool. Thank you. That's fun. Yeah, it's okay. So whole thread of the book is that Link and Bella have a bond, like they're intended. So they have this bond and it's their whole story. Cause she's just like, no, I hate you. I hate Festins. I hate anything to do with Festins. And I'm not gonna be bonded to a Festin. And he's like, really? He's like, I'm not gonna take no for an answer. So I had a lot of fun with that. Like just the chase and but there is a lot of action sequences. And in fact, a friend of mine just I have an author event on Tuesday night, which you guys are totally welcome to come. There's gonna be two other authors there at Prest Bookstore. July 18th at 6:30. Let me put my plug in. So, okay, moving on, since I completely forgot what I was going to say. Go back to my list of questions here, but we'll get back to my books in just a second. Do you have a favorite book that you've read?
Mine's Milk and Honey. It's a poetry book, so it's definitely different. And it's definitely different because I've never been the type to like carry a book around and like really want to read it. Like if it's a long story, I get very bored or I get confused. So I think poetry is very easy for me to understand and like have like a perspective of it because it's like nine lines tops. So it's definitely different. I like to, when I was little, I watched Diary of the Wimpy Kid, the books, the movies, or what's the other one?
The books about like the biographs about like the bobblehead people, if that makes sense.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
With the little fairies, I like on all the different fairies and what they
The
did.
fairies were so
I
good.
used to always like check those out at my elementary. It was a lot of fun though.
I know what I was going to say. It came back to me.
Just
As you were saying that. Okay. I want to comment though. Poetry is really cool. So I wonder if you like music too, because poetry is, I mean, that's lyrics are poetry. Do you like music
I
too?
love music.
Yeah.
Can't function
I
without
can't
it.
function without
Can't do
music.
anything.
Like doing, even when I read, I sometimes listen to music in the background, or when I'm doing
Wow.
homework, or I'm just driving around or cleaning my room, there always has to be like some type of like music playing, or I even watch podcasts. So it's a lot of fun.
That's cool. That's cool. I actually love to listen to music while I write. And I just sent out a newsletter yesterday, and it was like the very first time I've seen other authors do this. And they have like, they list what music they were listening to while they write the book. I'm like, I've always wanted to do that. But I was even more specific. I'm like, okay, in this scene, when the Festons were chasing up Vella, I was listening to these songs. And when I was in their smoochy scenes, I was listening to these songs. So that was fun. That was fun. But yeah, I totally get you. I don't know a lot about music. I'm not really knowledgeable about it, but I know what I like at the same time. I couldn't tell you the name. I couldn't tell you the name of a song. Okay. So how about you? What's your favorite book?
What was that one poetry book I read at your house?
Everything is this way.
It's about like heartbreak and like going through a breakup, and it just was like really intriguing. Is that the right word?
Yes.
Intriguing.
Yeah, everything. What's the name of it?
Everything this way. It's kind of like a blueprint, a
Yeah.
blueprint to like a breakup and how the stages of grief and how people
Yeah.
go through it in different
Everything's
ways.
okay. That's the name of it.
Everything this
Oh,
way. So like,
this way.
which is like a weird
Everything's
name for it.
yeah.
Like you
I
would be
was like,
like,
yeah.
but I saw it on TikTok actually, and I had my mom order it. And it was actually a really good book. It just talks about like blueprints and stuff. Like Devin sat down and read the whole poetry book in
Like,
like 30
yeah,
minutes.
it was
And she was
really
like, I
good.
love this book. And then she kept reading it.
So the Milk and Honey poetry book or the Everything This Way?
Everything this way.
That's a poetry book too.
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was like some nonfiction, like how to.
It's kind of like the author showing how in this generation a heartbreak is and how people that are outside the relationship can affect the way you heal or how the breakup or relationship goes. And it kind of shows how like this generation takes a breakup and how the social media aspect of it,
And
when
how it like
someone
affects you mentally, like your
like
mental
everything
health.
like that and how you heal all the stages of grief and how people in your life can like change to the way you change to a breakup and how people like come and go and everything like that.
Wow, and this is all done through poetry too. That's
That
really
is very
cool.
interesting.
That's
You're right.
really cool, really. So you don't have to answer this, but is it because you had a bad breakup?
Yeah, I did have a bad.
Okay.
I have had a bad
I just
breakup.
assumed. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
You know,
We're past it
like,
now.
I feel
She has a
like,
boyfriend. Yeah, I
oh,
do.
you've moved on. You've moved on to bigger and better pastures.
Yes. I think every poetry book I have is about a breakup.
Okay,
Oh,
I feel
well,
like
are you okay?
Me and Devin's exes are very alike in a way, and they never even met each other. So
Oh
I feel like
my
that's what
gosh.
kind of like a trauma bound.
Bond?
Whatever.
Yeah. I feel like we're about to write lyrics to a Taylor Swift song. I'm a huge Swiftie fan, by the way, if you don't know that about me, but I wasn't very happy with her last album.
I don't like the Taylor's version of Speak Now, like Back to December and things like that. I feel
Yeah.
like when she was young and she was really going through it, you could
Yeah.
feel like her
Yeah. Her emotion.
emotions.
Yeah.
Because like now it kind of feels like it's just like a normal
It's
song
just
that
like
she's just reading
lyrics.
off a page.
Yeah.
I know.
Like Dear John and all that, like we mean Devin saw. Sorry y'all if y'all we're telling y'all the truth, but like Back to December and stuff, we used to cry to those songs. Then we listened to the new version, we're like, she sounds like she's just speaking to someone, like she's not really going in depth.
Well, my main complaint, and this is just as an author that writes clean and, Christian stuff, that every song has a cuss word or two or three. And I'm just like, why? You don't need it. You
There's
don't need
always like a
it.
different word you could use.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I feel like I'm like, every song has to have that, really? I mean, her audience is so young.
Yeah,
there's so many. Everybody is so impressionable who's listening to her songs. And someone said to me that maybe she's just trying to get an older listener base,
trying to sound like more mature and get grab that.
She's
audience.
Trying to move away from like the young kids to older because she's getting older.
Because I feel like when she like wrote like "We are never getting back together," I don't think there's any cuss words in that song, and you can really like tell that.
I know.
She's very mature and like PG about that song because she knows like younger kids are going to listen to it compared to her newer music where she's kind of like expressing herself in a more mature way for people of her age and probably her ex guys to really like know how she feels.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people make fun of her for that, but like I don't feel like
if
anybody
I was a
should.
Songwriter, I could write some pretty good songs about my ex things, if we're being honest. So.
Well, I mean, it brings out the most emotion. Yeah. Like, you know, your heart is broken.
Well, some people, like, you write about things, and then she sings about her emotions. So that's the best way for her to communicate.
Yeah. But I do agree with you. Her last album, I just didn't feel like that. You know, like, when I first heard, this is not a Taylor Swift song, Let It Go. When I first heard that in the movie theaters, like, I'm just, and I know that's a silly little Disney song, but, like, I was like, that is so powerful. Like, it's, like, immediately I'm like, that's a hit. That is, I knew right away that was going to be a hit. And it was. And I just felt like her last album, I'm like, where's the hit? Like, I don't know which one of these is the hit.
I feel like it's because she's already sung it. So everyone's comparing her to that music, to her, like, old music she sung. And her voice has matured, but it just doesn't feel like there's any, like, soul in it. It just feels like she's just singing a song.
Like, reading.
And that's interesting because, like, my neighbor, who's my age, she's like, she goes, I became a Taylor Swift fan at her last album. I'm like, what? Like, it was so weird to hear that because I was just like, completely disagree with you. But because I love her older stuff. I mean, I listen to all her albums like on, you know, on repeat. So anyway, but hoping she goes back to her roots a little bit maybe, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. No, I feel like she's going down a whole new path.
She's like branching out to different.
Yeah. For sure. For sure. And, you know, that's what she's gonna do. That's what she's gonna do. I can't, you know, but I'm gonna give my opinion about what I think about it.
We love you, Taylor Swift, if you ever hear this.
I know we do. We just, no cussing, please stop the cussing. Okay, so poetry, that's new. I've not had that answer to a question before, so that's pretty cool.
Me and Devin sit at the like Hollingsworth at sunset and we'll read poetry and we'll journal. It's a lot of
write
fun.
Poetry.
No,
I want to read it, write it.
I this year actually wrote poetry about my father for like our school, and I got entered in that contest. I think I got like third place, but it was still fun.
It's great. Hey, stop that snickering back there. We can hear you.
Yeah, Nicholas James.
Yes, it was. My forever background, Nicholas, my son, is again in my background.
Nico.
Always.
So my next question was, do you know anything about my books? Have you seen my Dreamcast on Instagram? Did you guys happen to see it?
I went on your account and like I was just like scrolling through it.
I probably should have said which one that was. That would have been helpful. I'm sorry. I saw like 200 videos.
I saw about the Tara and I read about that. I haven't seen the Dreamweaver. I didn't see that anywhere.
Oh yeah. I don't have a Dreamcast for Dreamweaver.
Okay.
No, I haven't done that. I only did the Dreamcast for Tara because NBC was talking to me about a show, which they are still interested in. Apparently they have a new division that my contact is a part of, and they're looking for clean and Christian content. So she was asking me about my book, and I pitched her this whole thing. I mean, I did a lot of research on how to pitch to a producer. I took her class before I pitched to her. Everything. I did everything. And anyway, she loved my pitch, and she actually read my book. And we Zoomed about it after the surgery. And she had nothing but great things to say about it. And she didn't tell me it was a no, but she did tell me, I want you to finish the series. She's like, I can't take your book to a producer when the story's not finished. True. And that totally makes sense. Makes sense. So I did this really crazy video of when I was like racing to my chair to finish it. But I'll show you guys the Dreamcast. Did you end up finding it?
We couldn't find it. We looked for it a couple of times.
Okay. I'm going to pause this right here so I can show them the Dreamcast and then we'll come back. Okay, we have just watched my amazing Dreamcast on Instagram, and this is their these are their thoughts. What did you guys think?
I believe that the two overprotective brothers, like who would be good in that cast, make complete sense due to how they've been as brothers in like
previous like movies
in previous shows. Movies, especially the way they act and how they treat like they're like people they're close to them and how like protective and how they can get violent.
Yeah.
With, but not in a, like a harsh way, but trying to just be protective of the people they love, which makes sense.
Well, that's what I remembered that I totally forgot earlier. The book is not, my Terra is not all romance. There is a lot of elemental battles and there's a lot of fight scenes. And what I was going to say was my friend who's was thinking of coming to my event on Tuesday night, she wanted to know, can my 11-year-old read this? And I was like, I gear this to 14-year-olds and up because of the violence. Yeah. And I don't know.
It's hard to tone down violence in a way that compared to how you can tone down like kissing scenes and stuff.
Yeah for sure. And I'm like, but you know your son the best. And, you know, just talking to you guys about what, all the scary movies you've seen, these like terrifying movies, I'm sure my book is nothing compared to any of that. But I mean, I do have a book coming up that I'm going to be writing after this series is over, this one. That's the terror one. And it's going to have like a very creepy, like scary, haunted town kind of vibe to it.
Mysterious vibe.
Haunted. Ooh. Like, yeah, like it's going to be. And I'm actually like, I'm gearing myself up now to write it because like I am not a scary movie person at all.
How long does it usually take you to like write a full book?
Well, usually about a year, but this book too. Oh, okay. We're gonna pause for another Instagram reel. Hold on. Okay, so I had to show them a reel from Instagram when NBC talked to me about turning my book into a show, and my response to it was running into my chair and like racing to my computer to finish writing my book. So the answer to your question is, book two, I should be done in 3 months. So I have a writing schedule that I'm sticking to 2,500 words a day. So that's 12,500 words a week. Ooh. And then I can get it done in 10 weeks, then I will be super happy. And then, but I've never done this before.
Yeah.
I've always just kind of enjoyed the process. But the funny thing is I am enjoying this process. Like, It's pressure on me, but like it's okay.
I feel like your train of thought's better when you're like staggering it at a certain time, so then you can like prepare yourself to write and start it going. Because I feel like if I start something and I don't finish it like in that week, I will never finish it because I will procrastinate, and then my mind will go to 20 different places, and I'll be all over the place.
Yeah.
I don't know. Nicholas is a lot like me. Actually, if he does not have like a strict schedule, he will completely
wait till the last second.
He will go his own way. And I am he comes by it very naturally because I'm the same way. Like in college, I would wait until 2 o'clock in the morning to finish something that was due at 8 in the morning. And so I'd pull an all-nighter and I don't recommend doing that. So be a little better than I was in college. But I was also working like 50 hours a week. So I was balancing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But I really find that writing this 2,500 words a day has like, it keeps me in the scene.
Yeah.
And it keeps me in the like present in the book. And I'm always thinking about it. I'm ready to write the next scene. And when I do get stuck, I just kind of stop, but I don't force my way through it. So anyway, this should be done quickly. This one.
That's good though.
That's good.
Yeah. And then I'm hoping, because there's going to be 4 books in this series. Mm-hmm. So it's like this whole, I don't want to call it epic fantasy, but because of the big, huge story plot I've got going on, it kind of is. Mm. So I guess I can claim epic fantasy.
Is this your like favorite series or book you've ever like wrote out of all yours?
This book too has been my favorite to write. Well, first of all, I switched it to the first person point of view. So she's like, it's all I'm this, I'm that. And every thought she thinks, I'm there and I'm writing it out. Everything she smells, I'm reader knows it. Everything, like, I'm completely in her head, and I've never written first person before, and I'm loving it. It has been so much fun.
So the readers are basically seeing it through her, they're like her eyes and how she sees everything.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a lot easier from like from me reading to like connect to the book and like not be able to like draw off the path of the book. Cause sometimes when they're talking in like third person, I'm so confused. I'm like, huh, like, who are you talking about and when and where?
Yeah.
But I definitely like books in first person because they're so much easier to like stay on track and understand like what she's talking about in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm having a blast with it. Like I was frankly very intimidated to write like that. I was like, I could never do it. I don't have it in me. But once I started, I was like, this is so much fun. Like, I love, she got snarky. She got like funny. She got like, I feel like I'm like, man, should I go back and rewrite book one into first person? Because like, I'm loving it. I wish people would read book two before they read book one, honestly. But like, that's possible. So, but it, I mean, I feel like I still got in her head pretty good, but I know her so much better.
Yeah.
So this has been my favorite book to write so far, but I have enjoyed all of them. I wrote my first book, We'll Never See the Light of Day, but it was like a Cinderella type themed story. And like I said, it was my first attempt, and no one will ever see it. It just, nobody needs to see it. Nobody would want to see it. But I feel like you need to get that first one out of the way like that, unless you're like some crazy talented author and your debut author.
I feel like you can like reflect off one. You can reflect off your best book and like your like first like newly published books, and you can realize like how much you've grown as a writer.
Yeah.
Especially in school, like we used to write about the same thing every month, and you can see us like slowly progress as writers.
Yeah. Well, that's what happened in Dreamweaver. I wrote that in 2012, and I went back this year and re-edited it, completely revamped it. I added chapters to it. Like, I felt like it needed so much more, so I added stuff to it. I like everything I learned about writing the past 10 years, I applied to
I feel like you also get more comfortable, and like you can like branch out, especially when you come back to a book that you already kind of know and you have like a grasp of, and you can like, you can open up the story and change the plot completely and branch out new ideas into the book.
Yeah. Well, that was supposed to be a 3-book series too. Ooh. Well, this is a 4-book series, but because life just got in the way and I didn't get to finish it. Yeah. So it's right now, it's a standalone, but when I went and re-edited it, I'm like, I want to finish a series. I had so many places I wanted to take them. So who knows? If I can keep up with this writing schedule, I might be able to bust out, you know, a bunch of books in a couple years. So we'll see.
You never know.
You don't know. Okay, let's get back to our questions. I feel like we've gotten so on track and off track at the same time. Okay, if you could dream up a movie, what would you have in it? Would it be adventure, something out of this world, something futuristic, something scary?
Probably something scary.
Something scary, really? Probably. You'd come up with a story like
that? I would
that?
Have me and Devin as like detectives, like murder case detectives. I don't know why. Me and Devin loves Grey's Anatomy. Like, that's her.
Like, Grey's Anatomy.
I think she's watched Grey's Anatomy like 9 times. Anytime there's free time, there's Grey's Anatomy set up on her phone. Yeah. And I love Criminal Minds.
Yeah.
So I feel like if we wanted to, we could place ourselves in those like movies, but change them to like our aspects, but put them together in a way. So I think me and Devin would be great detectives. We are now. We're like, I think we're FBI agents now. So
my question is, why couldn't you do something like that? Like, that is definitely in a realm of possibilities.
Oh.
I mean, could you? Would you?
Maybe. I would. If I found the free time and like I could sit myself down and write and stay on track.
I just like get off track super easily. Like, if anything's in the way, like I'm getting distracted. Gosh.
There's
like,
always something going on. Me. There's always something planned. Yeah. So, especially with school, it's hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially with sports and school, you're just, free time is so hard.
Yeah, there's like barely any.
Like, I feel like in my free time, I nap.
Yeah,
I nap so much.
I'm a big napper. This is actually prime napping time. Is this your guys' prime napping time?
She took a nap. I stayed up, but she took a nap before we got here. And I was like, I'll wake you up. I was like, I'll wake you up.
They are the best. I love naps so much. They're so great. It's just like a recharge button. Like, you just And it can be 20 minutes, but my favorite are like 2 hours.
Oh, give me a good 2 hour nap. Or 5 hour nap. I say I'm taking like a 2 to 3 hour nap and I wake up and I go to sleep at like 3. I wake up, it's like 9. I'm like, I'm not going to bed until 3.
Yeah.
And by that time, I already like rearranged my room, like deep cleaned my room, did all my laundry. My mom wakes up and goes, when did you do all this? I was like, I could not sleep. It's so funny though.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I was just telling my husband last night. I was going to try to write last night. And my brain just was not there. I am not a night writer. And my husband's like, you're just not a night owl. I'm like, it's not a night owl. It's night writer. I'm not. I wish I was. Like, everything's so quiet and peaceful. There's nothing outside that can distract me. Like, it would be the perfect time to write at night. But no. I just can't. I can't.
I feel like if you also write the book you're talking about with the mysterious, like, haunting, especially, like, night, you can really get, into like, the mood and, like, the scene of it.
But you
like,
might also get scared.
Yeah, I'll probably get scared and stop writing, but.
Yeah, I know. Well, actually, it's probably going to, have you heard of Frank Peretti? Is that anybody you've heard of? He's a big time suspense, Christian writer, but, like, his stuff is scary. Like, it's.
Well, the one author that scares me with his writing, I used to read it all the time, like in middle school, is Edgar Allan Poe.
Yes,
his writing is very gory.
It is,
and I'm just like, I can't, like, the things he talks about. I was like, how do you come up with this and write it to, like, I can picture it, which is a good thing, but at the same time, I'm just like, I can't read scary movies because of, like, the words, but I can see them and close my eyes and hold my ears, but.
Yeah.
That author has always scared me. Like, I was like, no.
Yeah, he was definitely known to be. I don't know much about him, actually.
I read one book, The Crow, and I was like, I can't do it again. I was like,
oh,
no.
Oh, my god.
We had to read him for school. We had to write, like, an essay about it. I was like, no. I was like, I'm done. Y'all can read something else.
He must have been, like, he was way ahead of his time. Like, wasn't he in the 1800s?
Yes.
Yeah, he was.
He kind of brought in his personal life and how his family was and how he saw it and kind of wrapped, like, this twisted fantasy, like, gory fantasy around it and his own life and how he saw it and, like, imagined it. And I was like, I can't. I was like, he was definitely ahead of his time with his writing and how he wrote, especially for, what, 1800s? That's a very long time ago.
Yeah.
So the words he was using, the way he was writing, is insane to me.
So I'm looking up whether he was married, and it says he was.
I think his wife died of a sickness, I want to say.
Why did Edgar Allan Poe marry his cousin?
Yes, he married his cousin.
What?
Oh, my.
He was a very, like, in The Crow, he talks about that, and I was like, I remember Miss Laurel's class in, I want to say, 8th grade. I was like, there's no way that he married his cousin. And it was, like, a true story. And I'm looking at her like, you're making us read this?
Yeah.
It says that she was always animated and vivacious. Like, that seems like the opposite of who he was. Like, no, he opposites was
very,
attract.
I feel like he's very closed off and, like, spooky in a way.
Yes.
I'm like a vampire. That's where you, like, a. Like
I can imagine like him a being, like, broody and always thinking and just dark.
Like, I see him, like, being, dark. Like, locked in a basement. Like, a very spooky, cobweb basement.
Yeah, so that's interesting. That is interesting. And that he's written about her, my darling wife, Valentine to her husband. That's interesting. My poor Virginia still lives. That's very morbid. Ooh. My poor Virginia still lives. Wow. Oh, I guess she was sick. Okay, so Edgar Allan Poe. All right, let's get back to my question. Oh. I'm trying to remember which one I sent you. I think I asked you this one. If you could be in any book, which one would it be? Is that one I sent you?
I think so.
Okay.
I would be in Twilight.
Yay, I've got a Twilight lover. Woo! Hey, don't make fun of us, Mr.
Nick.
Nico.
Twilight is good. It's really good.
I could be like 6 years old and saw it first.
What?
The birth scene. He will never forgive me for letting him watch it.
I like Twilight. I would want to be, like, in that family of vampires for some weird reason. Can you stop me?
You can. It's okay. Just go upstairs or something.
Bye, Nick.
You know, like you said earlier, the fairy books. Whenever I was little, I used to live off those. I'd want to be in a fairy book.
Wait, did you know that's a really big trope right now? Fae? They call them fae books. They're like, instead of like supernatural fairies, they're fairies, but they call them fae. So they're like not little people like Tinkerbell.
Yeah.
They're like life size. They're like elves.
Oh.
But fae.
I used to love being Tinkerbell and like all the different fairies. I used to love those movies. I would.
Mind being a fairy flying with like a wand. Don't fairies carry wands?
You would hit someone with a wand.
Yeah,
I think they're cool though.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. The whole like Twilight thing. Bella, of course, would want to be in that family. I mean,
oh yes, especially when she had like her kid and like all the vampires around the world came together to stop like the embassy and everything. I would want to be in that like Pacific movie just to see all that. I would definitely want to be in that movie if anything, because it was just so cool how they all came. The movie too.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Did you not watch the movies?
Mm-mm.
I've never been
interested, but I've never like sat down and watched
it. It's like me and Transformers. I love it. I think the only cars I really know is like my Altima and like a F-150. I don't know. When like my brother talks about cars, I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. He's like, oh, Bumblebee's a blah blah blah. I'm like, Bumblebee? I think it's so funny.
I feel like Fast and Furious is the very big car, like,
who died?
Paul Walker.
When Paul Walker died.
I cried.
Is it the bald guy?
No.
That's Vin Diesel.
That's Vin Diesel.
Paul Walker was, like, he had, like, brown hair, light blue eyes.
Did he actually die? Yes. His character died.
No, he actually died.
I think he died from overdose?
No, I think he ran into a tree.
He ran or he something. Did something.
With his car, I'm pretty sure.
I cried. That was my celebrity crush. Like, what, him and Channing Tatum.
2014,
2015.
I don't know.
Really? And, like, all the movies, like, changed. Yeah, because so it wasn't the same.
Computer.
Because he was so, like, close with Vin Diesel, and then he had a kid with Vin Diesel's little sister. So, like, when all that, everything changed and it wasn't the same.
Yeah. See, I haven't seen any of those either.
They're so, I love them.
I like the old ones.
Really? The old ones are so good.
He's so cute.
I need to give these a try. I need to, like,
oh, I like the Underworld. Have you ever seen that?
Yes,
I like the girl.
The vampire?
The werewolf. She's a vampire. She's, like, black hair. She kind of looked like you when you had black hair.
Oh.
And, like, pale. Sorry. And, like, winter pale, and it's like she slayed all these like these werewolves, but like they looked so real, which is terrifying. It wasn't animated. It looked like real fur. It freaked me out. But I love them.
Yeah, they were really good. Underworld is really good. Was it Theo James in those? Who am I thinking of? The guy.
Oh,
I thought he was one of. I thought he was her like love interest. Like, it was like vampire. I thought they were very
on and off. Like he was like her mentor, but like she and him had like a thing. I don't know his name.
The guy, he had dark hair.
Yeah, because I remember he got bit, and then like
it's Theo James or something. And I say that because I've boycotted him ever since there's a show that he abandoned called Sanditon, and it's. Do you know who Jane Austen is?
He sounds familiar.
I don't know. Jane Austen is a female. Girl. She wrote Pride and Prejudice, Sense and Sensibility. Oh. You guys have heard of those? Okay. So Jane Austen lived in the 1800s. I think she died 1818, something like that. So, but she wrote these amazing books, Pride and Prejudice, Pride and Prejudice, Emma, Sense and Sensibility. There's like a slew of books she's written that are like so famous. And he was the last novel she never finished was called Sanditon. And so this group of producers came and like finished it, started a whole show. Mm-hmm. And Theo James was the starring role in it. And he like nailed it. He was so good in that role. And then they weren't sure if it was going to continue. So they lost him. He went to an HBO show, Time Traveler's Wife, and he went to another show and like abandoned Sanditon. And like I was one of the crazy fans that like mailed things like Red Planet Picture and stuff. Anyway, trying to get the show back. We got the show back, but we didn't get Theo James.
So
now I've boycotted him because I'm going to hold a grudge. But anyway, I'm pretty sure he was the one in Underworld. But, okay, I do have other questions. I guess
I think this is kind of easy to go off the top of your head. I feel like if you don't think about it and you start talking.
I was thinking about it and I was like, I don't even know. Like, I don't know what I'm going to say. But like now that you're asking, I'm just like, there.
I know. See, that's what that's.
Yeah.
That is perfect.
We were
that's
trying to figure out forever like what our favorite movies were. Yeah. I was like, what's my favorite fantasy? And I was like, Moana. I was like, I have so many stuffed animals of that chicken. Hey, hey. Like
she keeps one in her car. I'm like,
I have one in my car. I have like one in my room. Me and Devin went to Target and there's like this walking one of from Moana the chicken.
She was on the ground with it.
I like the hilarious. Target kids section. She was laughing at me. I love it.
That sounds like my fascination with Grogu. I'm showing you my little tiny Lego Grogu. I have him everywhere. He's like 10 of them in my room.
I've never seen Star Wars ever.
What?
My brother was obsessed with it, but I've never been like interested. Like, I don't know what it is.
Isn't it at Universal or Disney?
Disney.
I remember my dad's side of the family, we all went to Disney and they all went to like the Star Wars thing. And I was like, I don't have like that fascination. Like I like Avatar and stuff. I think that's so cool to me.
Yeah.
I don't like the new movie. I like the first movie. I think it's really good. I feel like the new movie is just so, I kind of feel like it just replays the first movie and just shows like how they are now. There's nothing like crazy in it. I love the first movie though. I've never been like a Star Wars like Jedi.
Yeah.
Okay, that's something that you're going to have to, you're an American, so you have to one day sit down, and you can't start at episode one. You've got to start episode four, five, six, and then you go back to one, two, three. It makes no sense, but it does. Because four, five, and six were recorded in the 70s.
Okay.
And, like, it won't confuse you to go back. Like to watch the new one. The new ones are 1, 2, 3.
Oh, that's so weird how they put that though. Yeah.
I don't know why they started with I'm okay with it actually because they perfectly casted everybody in 4, 5, and 6, like Luke Skywalker and his dad, Darth Vader. Like that's all been perfectly casted. Like, so I'm totally okay with it. But I'm just telling you, start on episode 4. And you will want to go by yourself Jedi sword, whatever you call those things.
She has a couple, I think, at your house on the back porch by that sword.
Yeah, because my brother used to be obsessed with Star Wars.
I remember I picked one up and I was like, what is this? Yeah, and I started like swinging it around.
It's a saber. It's a saber.
And I started like swinging it around. She goes, what are you doing? And I was like swinging it around. I was like, I do not know what this is.
You got to give Star Wars a try. I mean, that and Rocky. Rocky's another one. The boxer.
My dad's really into that. Mm-hmm. He's always talking to me about it. I'm like,
what? I like boxing movies.
It's not the boxing. It's the story.
Have you ever seen Southpaw?
I like the Cinderella Man, but I've been watching Coach Mays, boxing movie. That one was sad.
Who was in that? Is that a long time ago?
It was 2015 ish. It was about this guy who was boxing and then his wife got shot. And, like, his whole life fell apart. Like, he lost his kid. Like, it was really sad. Like, I started crying.
See, I can't. Really? I can't watch movies.
But I don't like violent movies like that either.
It's not about the boxing. It's the story. And if you knew, like, Sylvester Stallone, like, he was literally penniless. And somebody wanted to buy it off him for, like, bumpkins. Like, barely anything. And he decided to do it himself. And, like, just his like success story from Rocky One all the way through is amazing.
How many are there?
There's four. Ooh. Well, no. I say there's four because those are the only good ones. He also did Rocky Five, and I want to say two more after Rocky Four. But he's a lot older in them, and it's just not the same.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like after you have like one hit, I feel like authors kind of like try to over exaggerate something, and then it's never the same as that first like. One movie that captured like everyone's heart.
Yeah,
I've always been that way. Like there's like a certain movie out of a series I always have to like go and watch. I was like, I can't branch out. I can't. That's the same way with Devin Grey's Anatomy. Like she'll stay and she won't branch out to something else.
Really?
I've never seen her watch anything else.
I've watched Criminal Minds, but a while ago.
She Devin will watch Grey's Anatomy. Like just keep replaying it.
You've seen it.
Season one like 8 times. She goes. That's so good. I was like, no.
I don't know why. It's just like attachment.
Is it the characters? Is it the actors? The actresses?
I feel like it's just how they act towards each other and like their way of expressing their emotions. I don't know.
And I feel like there's really so many plot twists
into
in
like medical because I like plan on being in the medical field. So that's also like grabbing my attention.
Yeah.
So even though it's fake, but it's okay.
Hey, some of that's got to be real stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to turn the questions over a little bit. We're going to have a little fun. We're going to do Christmas in July. Oh, here's my little paper. I've got the Grinch, and it's the old Grinch. So hopefully you've seen some of the older Christmas movies. Love the old Grinch.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, let me get a piece of paper out so I know. All right, just on the quiz. Okay, so then Payne, Devin. Okay. Number one, how many buttons does Frosty have? Oh, by the way, I'm going to say after the question, I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, and then you answer at the same time. Okay. So how many buttons does Frosty have in the cartoon Frosty the Snowman?
Are you doing 1, 2, 3?
Oh, yeah.
I was waiting.
Wait a second.
Okay. I was like, hold on.
Does he?
Okay, I'm back. Okay. I had to go and look up the answer because I completely forgot. So I'm 3, 2, 1.
5.
You're both wrong. There are zero. Zero buttons. He has zero buttons.
Oh, because really? He has pebbles as his eyes. You're cold.
I know. Yeah, he has no buttons. Okay, so.
Wait, where are they? Okay.
Okay, let's hope I know the name of the rest of these.
No.
What is the name of the kid left behind in Home Alone? A, Michael. B, Calvert. C, Kevin. D, 11. So I'll do 1, 2, 3.
B. Kevin.
What would you say?
B, the whatever.
Calvert?
Yes.
I said Kevin.
Kevin.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Every Christmas, my family watches Home Alone.
No, we're a Polar Express family over here.
Oh, we're a Home Alone family.
Oh, I think I might have a Polar Express question.
Oh, I don't know.
You're going now.
Okay. Number three. Oh, there's 10 questions, by the way.
Okay,
so we got plenty of time to come back. In one of the pranks the little boy did in Home Alone, what cuts the robber's feet when he comes in the window? A, toy cars. B, broken glass. C, light bulbs. D, ornaments. 1, 2, 3.
Ornaments.
Yep. Okay. That's a pretty, big scene.
I feel like that was, probably the easiest question we're going to have on this.
Probably.
Okay. In the movie Elf, what is a song at the end of the movie that raises Christmas spirit so Santa can fly? A, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. B, Let It Go. C, Frosty the Snowman. D, Santa Claus is coming to town. 1, 2, 3.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Yeah.
We both said
pretty good.
This is intense.
Oh, by the way, I have a gift card for whoever wins.
$10
Starbucks gift card.
It's serious.
I forgot to
serious
raise the stakes a little bit. Okay, so we got to have the stakes there.
That's serious.
All right, number 5. So far,
Devin's winning.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the Grinch's heart is 4 times too small. Wait a second.
She's looking at me.
Go back and look up the question and answer again. This has been a long time since I've written this quiz. Okay. So in How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the Grinch's heart is 4 times too small. A, true. B, false. 1, 2, 3.
False.
True. It's false.
That pink drink's going to be mine.
It's 2 times too small.
Oh, I thought it was.
Oh. I was tricking you. Yeah. I was being tricky. Okay. Number 6. What is the name of the Grinch's dog? A, Antler. B, Max. C, Kevin. D, Jax. 1, 2, 3.
B.
Wait, I forgot the name.
A, Antler. B, Max. C, Kevin. D, Jax.
Oh, A.
It's wrong. B, Max.
Have you ever seen the Grinch?
I haven't seen it since I was little.
Oh, I'm about to take that Starbucks.
Oh, okay. I think
Man's winning by
2.
One.
Yeah,
by one.
You are.
By one.
Oh, by one.
By one. Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah.
Winning by 1.
Yeah, by 1.
Oh.
Okay. So Peyton's winning by one. She has come back from behind. She's not giving up. We've got four more questions though.
Oh no.
In A Christmas Carol.
Oh, I never seen this.
Three ghosts visit Scrooge. A, true. B, false.
True.
B, false.
It's false. There are four ghosts. No. You know that. There are four ghosts. No, so there's the I was trying to trick you again. So there's the ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, the ghost of Christmas future. But Ebenezer's partner, what's his name? His partner comes to visit him too. So he's another ghost.
See, I'm thinking about the past, present, future. I remember that.
Yeah.
So you never seen that movie?
No.
He's like in his house and they like come in and everything.
Yeah. It's so good. It's a great Christmas movie.
He's
just
like so mean. Good. That's the whole point of it.
Yeah, Ebenezer Scrooge is like
really mean, like he hates Christmas.
And he like has this
He's like a real like Grinch.
Yeah, like the Grinch I was about to say.
Yeah, but he has this whole like change of heart and everything. It's so sweet. Okay. So Tiny Tim. You will never forget Tiny Tim for the rest of your life when you watch that movie. Okay, number 8. So we are now tied. You guys are back to being tied. Okay. In A Charlie Brown Christmas, Charlie puts on a play to raise his spirits during Christmas. What was the play about? A, Scrooge in the Christmas Carol. B, Snoopy's Christmas Adventures. C, the story of baby Jesus. D, he couldn't decide. He didn't have a Christmas play. 1, 2, 3.
C.
I think it's the one about... Wait, read them again.
Scrooge. A, Scrooge in the Christmas Carol. B, Snoopy's Christmas Adventures. C, the story of baby Jesus. The
story of baby Jesus. Can I remember? He was like a little rope.
We're still tied.
Yeah,
we're still tied. This is the tiebreaker.
We got two more. But we've got a Polar Express question.
Oh, you going down.
You're going down.
You might get lucky. It's a four choices
if
here.
If we tie, we'll go together.
In the Polar Express, what does the boy take and put in his pocket after his adventure in the North Pole?
Can I just say it now? I already know.
I don't know.
A, an ornament. B, a bell. C, a toy. D, a candy cane. 1, 2, 3. A.
Bell.
Why do you say
bell? It's the bell, the reindeer
bell.
It's the bell. I have the bell.
Do you have the bell?
I have the bell. That's exactly. Oh, I have like the whole like little dust bag and everything.
She's winning by one.
Yeah, she is. I don't know. Peyton's winning by one. So you might tie this up, and then we might have to go like with
Jeopardy.
A bonus question. Yeah, I'll have to come up with on the fly. All right, so let's see. Number 10, the big question tie this up.
Oh, I'm nervous.
Where did Kevin end up in Home Alone 2? A, Florida. B, Florence. C, Paris. D, New York. 1, 2, 3.
D.
Yeah, that's right. It was definitely D. So, one, two, three. Wait. Yep. Yeah, you got four wrong. One, two, three, four. Yep. Peyton
won.
Oh, D1 won now. So good.
We'll split it.
Okay. I do have another opportunity for
Thank you.
You're welcome. I do have one more. So we have another opportunity.
Oh.
Yeah. So I was going to read you a quote from my book, and it's not like a yes or no answer. So basically, it's like your interpretation kind of thing.
Okay.
And this is actually, and for anybody who's listening and who's read Tara, this is a scene from book 2 that I just wrote today. So. So I'm giving you guys a peek into book 2. So they're basically they're driving to a hidden elemental community in like remote Canada. And they're doing this because they're being hunted by elemental extremists. These people that like there's this prophecy where two different elementals are going to have a child, and that child is going to unite all the clans. Because as it is now, all the clans are divided. They fight with each other. There's boundary battles. It's chaos. So they, her and Link are both two elementals. And because they have this bond, that the extremists found out about it. And they're now hunting them. And they're going to kill them if they can find them. Okay. So they're trying to run away. And on their way to Canada from Colorado, they hit some landmines along the way. So they run into Brians, and they have problems with the Brians. Now they just...
Are the Brians the earth people?
The wind elementals. Okay. And she had just been kidnapped by Festen elementals, the fire elemental. And he's a Festen. Oh. And so he couldn't fight them off and calm them down. And she ended up getting taken, pulled right out of her car and taken. And they were going to kill her, throw her in a river.
Oh my.
And she gets out, and Link helps her escape and everything by crashing into their car. It's this big crazy thing. But he feels super guilty that she got kidnapped. Mm-hmm. So he like can't get over it. And this is where they're at in the scene.
Okay.
So, oh, by the way. But right before this happened, this tangle with the Festens, she happened to bring up out of the blue, I wonder if we're going to get married one day. And he's like, well, yeah, aren't we? And she's like, wait, I'm only 17. I can't answer that question now. Like, so it turned into this big fight. Okay. So that kind of gives you an idea of what's going on. Okay.
It's like Nick getting married right now. Oh no.
I know. But like if you read the books, you'll totally get it. He's a very serious guy, and like he just knows what he wants. It's just Link. Okay, so they're in the motel. She's hiding in the motel room because they're still in the Festen community, and he went and bought a new car, and he's about to leave the room because he can't even look at her. He feels so guilty. Okay. Before I know what I'm doing, I reach for his arm, gently touching him. Link, wait, let's talk about this. Don't run away. We need to leave in about half an hour, he says in a hoarse voice. He avoids my gaze. I need to pay for these damages. Oh, by the way, he had just punched the heck out of the wall because he was so furious. He didn't know, like, what to do with his rage. So he just had, like, three massive holes in the wall. Yeah, so anyway, he's that mad.
Oh.
Okay, we can do that, but talk to me, please. He whirls towards me. Don't you see, Vela? I can't look at you without remembering the terror I felt that I lost you. I have to get away. Give me half an hour, please. I nod. That's all I can do. Give him time. And while I do, I'll pray. I can do that too. I watch him go after he runs his tortured gaze over my face, finding myself staring at a closed door yet again. I waited the half hour and submitted to a very disgruntled employee inspecting Link's damages. I'm sure he overquoted what the repair would cost, but Link paid it, no questions asked. We're in the car and driving away before I know it, very, very happy to leave that little town behind. Link wants to drive the night through all the way into Canada, about a six-hour drive. We left about 8:30, so I anticipate making it to the border at about 2:30. Like it was in the car after our fight about marriage, the air is so heavy with tension, I can again picture cutting a slice out of it like a cake. He hasn't taken one look at me, not one, and I'm starting to feel alone in the car. But this is no cake I would ever want. It's miserable driving, but I refuse to go to sleep while he drives because I'm waiting for an opportunity to talk. I'll wait, even though I'm desperate to sleep. The day has caught up with me, and I'm frankly shocked I'm not passed out. Adrenaline can do funny things to a person, and I allow it to fuel my body with unnatural energy. Hours into our drive, I'm tired of the still and the quiet. I try to turn on the music, and when Link stops me, saying he doesn't feel like listening to my music, I explode. I want music, you won't stop me. I attack the radio, finding a song, any song, I don't care. What's the matter with you? Link's still not looking at me, but his face is screwed up like I've officially lost it. Maybe I have, but I don't care. Turning toward him, I shout at him, Link, you're shutting me out. You say you can't look at me because you almost lost me, but look at what you're doing now. What am I doing? He finally turns toward me. You're losing me, Link. That's what you're doing. How can I spell this out to you any differently? I look at his stricken look. Yes, we've experienced a very hard and terrible experience, but do we need to punish each other for it? Can't we heal together? He looks at me silently, his jaw working. Can't we move from this by healing and being stronger for it? Isn't that what couples do as they live life together? 1 minute Link is sitting silent, the next he explodes. Oh, the life you're not sure you want to live with me? That life, Ella? Why would I bother when I'm just going to lose you anyway? He's breathing hard and his eyes look so hurt. I want to crawl on his lap and soothe his pain away. He's trying to pay attention to the road and me, and I'm tempted to tell him to pull over so we can have this conversation safely on the side of the road. But all I can do is look at him with my heart in my throat. Me and my stupid, careless words. Why did I ever ask him about marriage? Why couldn't I just leave that well enough alone? But then a heat-filled resolve fills me. I'm sick of feeling guilty for asking an innocent question. Link, you have to understand how utterly unfair you're being. I cannot imagine my life without you in it. Just because we are each other's intended does not guarantee a happily ever after. But guess what? I've gotten that with you so far, and you're going to have to be like any other couple in history and wonder what my answer to a proposal will be until you ask it. You want an answer now? Well, you're going to have to wait for it. We have a whole relationship to experience before you should ever even think of asking it. So pull up your big boy pants and stop pouting about what I said. Stop, Link, making me feel guilty for a question I was playfully asking. His turbulent eyes steady me, and with a nod, he answers. You're right. I already said I'd wait for you, so I guess that's where we're at then. Take it one day at a time with no promises. His knuckles turn white as he grips the steering wheel. Okay, so here's my question.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you think he's testing her by asking her that question? Do you think he's, like, totally okay with the point that she made? Or do you think he's, like, still mad?
I think he might be so mad because, like, his fists were, like, turning white.
If you can go that long without speaking with someone in that car and not, like, having anything, and then you just exploding, like, there's still definitely some, like, leftover feelings there that aren't talked about that he, like, just is mad about. Like, so
he's being very curt. She's unloading all
and
her
she's
feelings.
Definitely saying, like, she definitely said that she can, like, see the pain in his eyes and stuff. So I think he's, like, that's not something you can just get over.
Yeah.
Especially, like, when he's planning this, like, life with her and this future with her, and she's questioning that. So he's taking that in the most negative way, and that's what's making him mad.
But is he being fair, honestly?
I feel like he is being fair because he's risking his life.
Yeah.
Because he almost got killed and she almost got killed. So they're risking each other's lives to be with each other.
Yeah.
And for her now to question it after everything and after him almost, like, ending his life to save her.
He should have punched the walls, though.
And
I'm just a little iffy about that scene, honestly.
But I like it, though.
I'm rolling it, and I'm like, maybe I should take that out.
I like it, but, like, you can kind of see, like, how where he's coming from how
that
he's
shows,
taking,
like, how he's generally, like,
angry. Like, he's not just saying, like, oh, yeah, he's angry. Like, you're showing, like, he's punching the wall multiple times.
So you don't think he's looking psycho in that moment?
No,
so
I think he's
I was worried about him. Like,
you also have to think they're, like, elemental people. So
fire and angry, hot.
So that makes sense for him to do that. Because if he was just like, oh, okay, like, I'm mad, but it wouldn't really, like, show how, like, really the fire element is.
Yeah. Okay. So let me answer the question. Okay. But I will tell you guys who was the closest. But you guys were very much alike in your answers. I don't know.
We're competing over each other.
Okay. So the rest of it goes, this feels suspiciously like a test, and I hold my breath as I contemplate my answer. I take the plunge and answer with what my instincts are screaming at me to say. I promise to be the best girlfriend you've ever had. I love you, Lincoln Stevenson. I don't see that ever changing, but until I get that question, your proposal, you're going to have to be happy with that. At my words, a smile spreads across his face, and my heart thumps in relief at seeing it. I can do that.
Oh, so he wasn't mad. He was fine.
Well,
he was mad at the time, but
he was mad. But if she hadn't answered like that,
I feel like
he definitely was like, it was a test.
Yeah.
It definitely was a test because, like you guys said, he left, like, he didn't leave everything he knew. Like, the story behind Link, he was in her territory because he was traveling with his uncle. Mm-hmm. His sister died under his watch. So, like, his parents basically sent him off to, like, get him out of their sight. And they sent him to go to live with this traveling uncle who, like, writes about all the territory cultures. And he's writing this, like, book about it. And so he ends up in the Gaian lands, and that's how he met Vella. Because it's nearly impossible to find your intended because they're separated. It's like finding a needle in a haystack to find your soulmate. Mm-hmm. And so when he finds her, that's why he's like not going to let her go easily.
And I feel like the way she said, like, until you ask me the question, like, I feel like she's kind of like giving like clues that like she's hinting towards like she wants to be with him. Like he has to ask, like she's not going to go out her way.
Okay. So I was so tempted, and maybe you guys can point me in the right direction. I was so tempted to say for him to just pull the car over and get on his knee and say, okay, I'm asking.
I think you should.
I wanted to do that so bad. I feel like you should. That's putting a big matzo ball out there.
I feel like that would be, like, at the perfect time. But, like, you know, like, in, like, those old movies where they, like, the couples get mad and he's like, I do love you, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, they kiss and make up and whatever. Like, something like that. Because there can be, as soon as you ask, like, he asked to marry her, like, so many different, like, ways you can go with that. Like, you can go from danger to, like, good to them having a child to a war starting. So, I feel like there could be so many different things.
Yeah, I feel like that'd be good.
Well, here's my dilemma, though, because there is going to be another guy when she gets to this community, that this hidden community, there is another guy coming into the picture.
I feel like you should do, like, from All the Boys I Loved Before, how she was with Pete or whatever his name was, and then she met, like, her old, like, crush, and, like, she second-guessed, like, them getting engaged and everything. I feel like you could, like, do a spin like that where you're, like, they get married and they have this happy life, but then as soon as she meets the guy and starts talking to him as, like, a friend, like, she questions, like, is this the life she wants?
I don't know if I can do that to Link. Oh, my gosh. That's so, like, I don't know. I'll have to think about it. I'll have to think about it. I'll have to pray about it. I'll have to really think about where I want the story to go. Because if she's engaged by the time she gets there. And I don't know. Being engaged at 17?
Yeah,
I don't even think that's legal. I don't even think you can.
Well, if you like in a fantasy book, though, you can really, in the elemental world, you can do whatever you really want.
But
17's young to be engaged.
Yeah. 17 is young.
That's literally us.
People are doing it, though, which is insane.
Yeah.
I know. So, like, what message am I giving my teen readers if I say,
that makes sense,
get engaged at 17? Why not? Like,
I feel like they should at least be 18 as, like, an adult, because people do, you're allowed to get married at 18.
Yeah.
17, you can get married, but you have to have parental consent, and I don't know.
Okay, I can totally do this. So he pulls over and he, like, proposes because he's 18.
Mm-hmm.
But she tells him, you're going to have to wait until I'm at least 18 to answer this question. So it's not a no. It's like, okay.
It's like a waiting game.
Yeah.
I think that would be good.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I mean, that's only...
Does she have, like, a father or anything?
Oh, yeah.
She's, you can talk about, like, a blessing, too.
Right. Mm-hmm. And she would say that. Like, if you want my parents' blessing, you're going to have to
If you
want to
be with me, you have to have the blessing. And then the whole age thing can come up with the parents.
Yeah.
That's true. Because they would never allow it. Like, ever, ever, ever. So basically, she's going to be almost engaged.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was also going to show you guys a picture of you guys. I have not, like, shown. You're here, too. You can see the picture, too. Okay. So this is the picture, my book cover for book two, that no one has seen yet. I don't even have it on my Amazon.
Butterfly on the book. I showed her it.
Oh, yeah. So this is the cover for book one.
So I have a butterfly tattoo, and she loves butterflies, and she thought it was so pretty.
That's so cool.
What's so funny, Nick?
Okay, so by the way, Terra is another word for earth. So this was the earth element to it. So book two is torch, and that's it.
It's like a phoenix, kind of.
Yeah, like it's like that. A
firebird.
Yeah, firebird. And it's got, like, the whole, see how this has, like, the concentric circles on the front on Terra? So I wanted the circle kind of thing, but different.
I like it. Yeah, I do like it.
It looks cool, huh? Yeah. So you guys are the first persons to see my book two cover.
Okay, whatever.
Nicholas, I already showed it to you? Oh, Nick was the first person. Okay.
Well, you're going to give me back my gift card.
Oh, no. She worked very hard for that gift card.
No.
And I made sure to write the amount on there because last time when Mikey got his, he thought it was more than there was, and he, anyway.
Yeah.
Not good situation.
Starbucks.
Got to pay for some Starbucks. Okay, but I want to give you one too, because I just appreciate you guys being in my. Nick never did get a gift card. I didn't start the gift card tradition until Brooks and it was you and Chelsea, right? Yeah. No, wait. I thought Chelsea
did
was
you
with
hear
Mike.
Yourself?
No, Kinley was with Mike.
Oh, Kinley was with Mike. Yes. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys. I'm trying to remember. Yeah. So, but anyway, I just so thank you for being on my show. This was
thank
super
you for having
fun.
Us. Thank you for having us.
I always, always, always have fun with you guys, and I love talking books and movies and all kinds of fun stuff. So, hopefully, and maybe you guys can come on Tuesday night down to Press. Have you ever been to Press Bookstore?
I don't know where it is, but I've heard
of
it.
Downtown
Lakeland.
Oh, I was there with him too. Again, like whenever I think you were writing this one. I don't remember when. But I know.
Did you come to the book signing night?
Yes, I did.
I'm sorry.
No, it's
it was a very crazy night. Hard for me to remember. So okay, we're being super distracted.
Yeah.
So
can you
help? All right. So you guys, thanks again. And I appreciate you being on my show and thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to the Sophia Talk Show. Come back for more fun interviews and talks about all things fantasy and fiction. Go to sophiasimpson.com, Sophia with an F, if you'd like any links that I mentioned in the show. And find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook for all things Sophia Simpson books. My handle is Sophia Simpson Author. See you there.